All right, well, it's great to be here. Glad you joined me on one of the last opportunities to see many graphs and slides. This is one of those titles that's designed for such a session that's, toward the end, trying to catch your attention a little bit. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about nitrogen today, and as you've heard over and over again at the meeting here, we have a problem with not enough nitrogen, we need to grow crops, and we have a problem with too much nitrogen sometimes because of a variety of reasons. And probably the biggest one we have really is the failure to be able to predict accurately what the crop really requires as far as nitrogen goes, and when it needs it, and all the different sources that might contribute to that nitrogen supply. So in a very simplistic world, when we talk about soil building, we're either adding more nitrogen to the system, building it up in the organic matter, or we're mining it, or if we're really good and we have good soil quality, soil health to begin with, we want to maintain that. Okay, so what I'm going to do today is toe the line between empirical measurements and introduce you a little bit to my idea about how modeling can help when the early season measurements aren't telling everything. So I'm going to be describing a situation that where we have irrigation, so we don't really have a moisture variable. We're in the arid west, so we don't have a lot of rainfall to leach nitrogen. So really, when we get into these systems and we look at the organic mineralization as a source of nitrogen, we're really looking at temperature as our major variable. So I wanted to see whether if we took a relatively simple equation that's been published by many folks on estimating temperature-based mineralization, how that would work out in the context of our irrigated vegetable cropping systems. And since we're in a soil quality session, I wanted to kind of put this in the context of what does this tell us about soil building in relation to matching crop needs and building soil quality, and also keep in mind that there are a couple of tests that are being evaluated nationally to look at soil health, and in general I would characterize the output of those tests as saying that if the number is higher, then the health is better. All right, so this represents my synthesis of what I've seen over a number of different kinds of studies I've done. I've worked with organic farmers on the same soils I worked with conventional farmers. And when we work with the organic farmers, we tend to see too much nitrogen. And when we work with the conventional farmers, often not enough. Well, almost always not enough. So what I'm trying to show here is that the increased supply that we get, which is usually about double on an organic versus a conventional, it's due in part to higher total organic matter. In this case, I'm showing you the difference between 3% and 4% organic matter. But it's also due to the fact that we have a higher active pool of nitrogen that's turning over and supplying more nitrogen than the more stable forms. So here's an example that I did quite a while ago with colleagues in Washington State. Western Washington's pretty much like Oregon, where you're wet in the winter and dry in the summer. And in this case, we did a microplot study, and we collected soil from the same soil type adjacent that had either manure history or no manure history, and we did the little iron resin pillows at the bottom of our incubation tubes, and we measured how much nitrogen released and when it was released. So what you see here is that you get, this is kind of supporting the idea, but approximately doubling in most cases if you have a long enough term situation. And you can also see that the time when it is the most active is during the midsummer period. All right, so this could be my conclusion slide, and if I get too windy, then maybe you'll have heard it at least one time. So what I think we ought to be doing is, rather than relying on pre-plant tests only or in-season tests only, I think we should be doing some combination of these that make the best forecast we can, do some in-season monitoring with either soil or plant sampling, depending on the cropping system. And then the last one is the hardest one. We have to learn what, you know, how consistent our result is and whether we can adapt our system to get more consistent results in the future. So I'm going to present some data today that was collected by Aaron Heinrich, who's over here, and Ed Peachy, and this was all in the context of irrigated sweet corn in the Willamette Valley. So this is an extensive design where we have one plot per field, and we're looking at the difference between the grower's fertilizer and a no fertilizer control. The idea is that it must be plant available if it's in corn. So if we harvest the corn biomass, we get a plant-based estimate of mineralization. These fields are irrigated throughout the season, so we don't really think that moisture is a major factor driving the mineralization process. So just a reminder that this is based on a plant uptake number. So here's our data from the 3 years. So the black bar here is, where's the mouse? Okay, I'll just wave. Huh?
In the middle of it.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Ah, here we go. All right, so the black bars you see here, these are the nitrogen uptake values for the plots that did not receive any fertilizer during the current season. The other bars are the growers' results. So if you look at this in general, what you see is that the crop is getting approximately 60 or 70% of its overall nitrogen supply from soil nitrogen mineralization. So we did all kinds of assays trying to relate to the pre-plant situation to the actual uptake in the field, and this is just one of those. I could show you others, but they have a similar kind of beauty to them, that they are an exercise in showing that variability exists. But we do have kind of this center point here where we've got most of our observations are at about, for a soil with about 3% organic matter, we're seeing about 100 pounds of nitrogen uptake by the corn. One encouraging thing we did see was that if we plot the amount of pre-plant nitrate in the soil to a depth of 12 inches or 30 centimeters versus how much of the nitrogen comes from mineralization, we see that, you know, the direction of the points at least makes sense, and we can differentiate between fields that are severely nitrogen deficient from fields that have closer to an adequate supply. So the equation I'm going to be talking about is just a simple equation like this one, where we're adjusting mineralization based on a temperature factor with an Arrhenius equation, as is shown below. Basically, mineralization rate is increasing exponentially with temperature. And so here's our input variables to this equation. The data I showed you for the zero plots, the soil analyses that are the most representative of the population, and then this works out to about 1% of the soil total nitrogen being found in the crop as nitrogen uptake. Okay, so if we use the equation and we have a daily time step, this is the kind of rate per day that we get from that exercise. So it says that we're getting between 0.6 to 1.2 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per day as predicted by the equation. So if we sum up those values each day and we show you a cumulative curve, that's what you're seeing here on this green line. This is the cumulative values starting with, I picked May 1st for the start day. I probably should have picked maybe April 1st, but you can get the idea that in general we're in the right ballpark with this kind of equation, which was kind of exciting to me because I don't have that much trust of models. And the fact that, you know, we're not, it's making sense. This red line here, this is showing you some data we did on another study that relates growth stage to nitrogen uptake amount. And what I wanted to really show there, but I guess I can't go back. Oh, great. Okay, what I wanted to show is that this makes sense because on all of these conventional fields, we get a response from nitrogen fertilizer. So if we take this as being realistic and then we adjust the K value or the rate constant in our temperature equation, this is what we get for the mineralization rate versus a hypothetical corn grown at basically the same uptake curve for corn here and here. So this looks pretty good if you're an organic farmer, but what I want to point out is that in our world, we get approximately 75 centimeters of rainfall between September 1st and the beginning of April, so that whatever nitrate you have left over at the end of the season will be the nitrate that you're measuring in your lysimeter or in your groundwater collection device. So really having an accelerated nitrogen mineralization rate at the end of the growing season is not really environmentally what we want to see. So my last slide here shows you that these are numbers actually from organic farms, they aren't all organic. Some of them are sustainable, so they use a lot of inputs that don't happen to be certified. But if you look at the scale of these, what I'm showing you here is that in two of these farms, we have reasonable utilization and reasonable nitrate remaining in the soil at the end of the growing season. But the other two, those have significantly, they're going to have a lot of nitrogen left at the end of the year. And this is a problem we can't really fix. Once it's built, it's going to mineralize like this for quite a few years. So my suggestion is let's think about having a balance between soil building and consider that too much nitrogen is probably the upper limit for soil building in this particular environment. All right, so my general conclusions are that we had reasonable agreement between an off-the-shelf temperature-based nitrogen mineralization equation in our particular environment. And I think that combining a temperature-based forecast with nitrate monitoring during the season is going to help farm advisors and producers see where they are in relation to a more conventional scenario. And I think if you look at this, this is one of the things you need to mention to producers is while you're building mineralization potential, you may be building a energizer bunny that just keeps on going and going and going, mineralizing in the fall, producing nitrate that you can't really capture even with a cover crop. So with that, I will...
Thanks, Dan Sullivan, for...